الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we continue reading the treatise of the great Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. The treatise Al-Usul Al-Sitta Al-Azima, the six great principles. We continue and finish up reading from the benefits with regards to the second principle. The author, he mentioned Al-Aslu Al-Thani, أمر الله بالاجتماع في الدين ونهى عن التفرق فيه فبين الله هذا بيانا شافيا تفهمه العوام ونهانا أن نكون كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا قبلنا فهلكوا وذكر أنه أمر المسلمين بالاجتماع في الدين ونهاهم عن التفرق فيه ويزيده وضوحا ما وردت به السنة من العجب العجاب في ذلك ثم صار الأمر إلى أن الافتراق في أصول الدين وفروعه هو العلم والفقه في الدين وصار الأمر بالاجتماع في الدين لا يقوله إلا زنديق أو مجنون. The author, he mentioned that the second fundamental principle from these six great principles, rahimahullah ta'ala, that Allah has commanded for unification in the religion and prohibited division. Allah has clarified this entirely and clearly, sufficiently, so that the layman may understand. He prohibited them from being like those who divided and differed before us and were destroyed. He mentioned that he has commanded the Muslims with unification in the religion and prohibited them from division. Additional clarity as well has come from the Sunnah in this amazing affair relating to this. Then the affair became so that division and the fundamentals of religion and its subsidiary issues, this is considered knowledge and understanding of the religion and the command for unity. And the religion, no one would say this except a heretic or an insane, crazy person. So we see that the second principle, the obligation of being unified, this is from the great fundamentals of the deen, the fundamentals of al-Islam. And in reality, this is the one who has applied the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has worshipped Allah alone sincerely with ikhlas and the manner befitting and pleasing to Allah azza wa jal, then he will be united upon the way, the correct way and the correct understanding. So the first principle in reality is about the sincere worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the second principle is about being steadfast upon the Sunnah of the Prophet, because this is the means for unification. The means for unification is to be upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlu Sunnati wal Ijtima'a. Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'a. Ahlu Sunnati wal Ijtima'a. Ijtami'una ala Sunnah. As-Sunnatu tajma'uhum. The Sunnah gathers them. So this is the case. Unified upon the worship of Allah alone, and unified upon worshiping Him in the manner that Allah has clarified upon the tongue of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what all of the prophets have come with: the command to worship Allah alone and to be united in the religion, and not to be divided, and to not be divided. So, if we look into the Sunnah, as the author, he says, وَيَزِيدُهُ وُضُوحًا مَا وَرَدَتْ بِهِ السُنَّةُ مِنَ الْعَجِبِ الْعُجَابِ فِي ذَلِكَ. Will increase this affair in clarity from the amazing affairs that has come in the Sunnah and from the Prophet. Not only has Allah Azza wa Jalla clarified this in His book, commanded the Muslims to be united, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and prohibited them from being divided. And He has commanded them in more than one verse for unification, and prohibited them in more than one verse from division and being divided in the religion. And Allah has clarified this in His book. And likewise, what would increase this issue in clarity is that which has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the command for unification. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned the reality of the believers and their love and their comfort for each other, and their concern for each other, and care and affection for each other is like a body, one body. If one part of that body is hurt, the rest of the body feels the pain and will suffer likewise, and not be able to sleep at night or the rest of the body may have a fever and the likes like this, as has come in the authentic narrations. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the example of the believer is like a structure, that one part strengthens the other part. It came in the hadith of Abi Musa radiallahu anhu that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-mu'min lil-mu'min kal-bunyan, yushuddu ba'dahu ba'da, wa shabbaka asabi'ahu." He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that verily the reality of a believer with regards to his brother believer is that of like a structure, like a wall, and that one part strengthens the other part. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hands together like this. And meaning that a believer becomes strong by way of his brother, and the brother of the believer, and the believers, they become strong in their unification. In the same way that a person would build a building or build a structure, he would set the foundation and he would put each brick together tightly like this, in this manner. And if there is a weak brick in the wall, then the wall is going to be weak. Or if there, for example, likewise in a chain, if there's a weak link in the chain is going to be weak. But if they're all strong, then together they are strong. Whenever they are united, strong together, then the whole chain is strong. Likewise, the building, the same manner, or the wall. If all of the bricks are established properly and strong, then they support each other and the wall will be strong and it will be beneficial. This is the example of the believers. Whenever the believers are strong together, united together, then they will stand united and they will be strong. But whenever one of them is weak, then it makes the rest of them weak. Whenever one of them is weak, this is making the rest of them weak. So this is the case. We have to realize the reality of being unified, and the reality of division, it weakens the believers. It weakens the believers. Division and animosity amongst the people of the Sunnah weakens the Sunnah, and amongst the people in the lands, it weakens the Dawah. Naam. And this has come in reality. The religion of Al-Islam, the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this is the deen of Allah azza wa jalla. It's unification. And we will see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his sunnah and in the commandments that he has, and the affairs that have happened in his biography sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many events that clarify the concern that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give for the unification, to protect any avenue of dissension coming into the ranks. We've seen in the previous class the example of how the companions, whenever they would come in a travel and they would rest, some they would go in groups here and groups there and groups there. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned them from that and prohibited them from that, and said, "Inna tafaruqakum hadha min ash-shaytan." The only reason why you divided here, some under this tree and some in this valley like this, different groups resting, this is from shaytan. And he meaning this is what has caused you to be divided. Likewise, many of the rulings that we find in the Sunnah, that have come in the Sunnah in transactions, and likewise in the issues of marriage and things like this, this is all in the reason behind that is to keep the hearts clean and to keep the hearts pure, to keep the unification strong. For example, it's not permissible for a Muslim who has a khitbah, or he is preparing to or seeing if he wants to marry a woman, and he has permission from the wali, and they are in agreements to seek marriage, to look into the issue of marriage. He wants to see and ask for the hand to see if it's permissible. It's not permissible for another Muslim to come along and ask for her hand, or ask to sit down and speak to her at the same time. Because what? This would cause dissension in the hearts, and this would cause animosity in the hearts. And this is prohibited so that the unification can remain strong. Likewise, we find that it's not permissible in the deen of Al-Islam, in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, to sell something to somebody and then somebody come along and say, "No, I have it for cheaper." Somebody is selling the phone. For example, he is going to sell this for $100. Somebody might come along and say, "Oh, I'll sell it to you for $75. I got it right now for $75 and it's brand new." That's not permissible. That's not permissible. Al-bay' ala bay' akhi. That's not permissible. Why? Because this could cause animosity. This could cause that person to have animosity and for the dissension to enter the ranks and to enter the hearts. The religion of Islam is a religion of purity. And also it observes the purity of the hearts of the believers. This is the case. Likewise, backbiting has been made haram and impermissible. Why? Because it separates the people. It divides the hearts. Likewise, carrying tales, namima, this is all impermissible. Why? Because what does it do? It divides the ranks. It causes animosity to enter the ranks of the believers. So for many, many aspects, it has come in the Sunnah. It's not permissible to do these particular actions and transactions. Why? To protect this principle. To protect this fundamental principle of unification in the deen. To observe and to protect this principle. To keep it safe and to keep it from being having any deficiency. Or for to keep entirely the dissension in the rank from coming to the ranks of the believers. Now, and the author, he is mentioning over and over the reality. Whenever he mentions al-ijtima', he says al-ijtima' fi al-deen, al-ijtima' fi al-deen, al-ijtima' fi al-deen, yani unification in the religion. Whenever he's mentioning, each time he's mentioning it again, but it's clear this unification in the religion. And as we have seen, what is established, the reality is that the people will be united in the religion whenever the hearts are united. Whenever the hearts are united. So the religion of Islam is observing the hearts. The hearts are united from the proper creed and the proper belief. First, this is the manner. So even if they have the proper creed and the proper belief, even after that, Islam has shut the doors for decision. For dissension to enter into the ranks. This is a great fundamental principle that the Muslims have to understand, and that whenever one lets this dissension come in his heart towards his brother, and we're talking about a brother who is upright and known for, he's a person of the Sunnah, your brother from the people of the Sunnah, not talking about brotherhood with the people of innovation and Allah. This is a different mu'amala and a different dealing like this, but the one who is your brother from the Sunnah, this is the one we have to keep. Very close concern that the ranks don't split because of something personal. Because of something personal. As for if the issue is established and it's a religious issue, then that's different. But whenever the issue is with regards to the dunya, then the hearts have to be united. Even it's not permissible for a Muslim to boycott or to turn away and not speak to his brother for 3 days. This is not permissible. After 3 days, it's not permissible. The individual will be considered sinning by not speaking to his brother or not giving him salam or turning away from him because of a falling out with regards to some affairs of the dunya. So we see that this principle is established. Even if we open the first book in the first page in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, we say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Many, many verses, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, yani this is in a plural form. So even looking at the in the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, how Allah is speaking to, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, it's not speaking to an individual. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, save yourselves. And it's the idea of ijtima' and the religion of Islam is a solid fundamental principle. It's a solid fundamental principle. And whenever there's ijtima' in the deen, then the deen will be strong and apparent in the land, and it will be victorious, and the Muslims will be strong. And whenever there's dissension in the ranks of the Muslims in general, in the ranks of the people of the Sunnahs particularly, then that's whenever the Muslims will be weak. That's whenever the Muslims will be weak. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ لِلْمُؤْمِنْ كَالْبُنْيَانِ يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. This is the case. So a person, he would want to be afraid of being a reason for causing dissension in the ranks. A person, a believer, he would think twice before he does something that would cause his brother to turn away from him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that he prohibited this in many narrations. And لَا تَحَاسَدُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. Do not turn your backs on each other. Do not have animosity towards each other. Do not have envy for each other. All of this to keep the ranks tight. All of this to keep the ranks tight. Because what happens whenever division enters, as the author he mentioned, don't be like those who differed and were divided before, فَهَلَكُوا, because they were destroyed. The outcome of iftiraq and of furqa is destruction and weakness amongst the ranks. Amongst the ranks of the believers. لا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم. Do not dispute amongst each other, or else your strength and your courage will go away, and you will fail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited this. Do not dispute amongst yourselves. So this is the case. Likewise, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned فعليكم بالجماعة, commanding, hold fast to the congregation. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجِمَاعَةِ, to the congregation, to the unification, to the main body. فَإِنَّمَا يَأْكُرُ الذِّبُّ الْقَاسِيَةِ. Because why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, because the wolf, it eats the sheep that is far away from the pack. And whenever the sheep are all together, then it's more difficult for the wolf to strike and to take one away. But whenever one goes away, further away, this is the one that the wolf will strike. And this is the one that shaitan will take away. But whenever the Muslims are united and together, then they will be strong against their enemies. They will be strong against their enemies. Unification in the religion is a mercy. Unification in the religion is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmah. And to be divided is a punishment. And there are some people who have misunderstood, and they have claimed that differing in the religion is a mercy. They claim that ikhtilaf al-ummah rahmah. And this is a great misunderstanding. And this is contrary to many of the texts that have come in the Quran and the Sunnah. Rather, al-ikhtilaf in the religion, this is not mercy, this is adab. And this is shar, and this is evil. And this is a means for weakness amongst the believers to be divided and to have dissension in the ranks and animosity towards one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about this case, and He says about the people, لَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. So this particular verse right here is a clarification and a refutation for those who claim that division or differing in the religion is a mercy. Differing in the religion is a mercy. They say, you know, Islam is big, Islam is vast, you know, there's room for differing. And in the usul of the deen, there's no room for differing. To differ in the affairs, this is not a mercy. Rather, this is a punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that they still are differing. The people are still differing. لَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَرِفِينَ. They're still differing. They remain differing. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. Except for the one whom your Lord has mercy on. So the one who is not differing, this is the one who has the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla. The one who is not differing, the one who is unified, this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been mentioned in the tafsir that the one that has the mercy, the al-marhumun, they're the ones who follow the way of the messengers in every time. They remain differing. All of the nations before us, they differed likewise. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this, that the people were destroyed before us. Why? Because of differing. وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that what أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ يعني كثرة سؤالهم أو مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم. And the fact that they differed is a means for them to be destroyed. So the nations before, they differed. And he's mentioning here, don't be like them. Don't be like them. But the only one who was safe from this differing and the ones who did not have this punishment and this calamity, they are the ones whom Allah has mercy on. And they are the ones who are united. They are united in all times upon the worship of Allah alone and upon the way of the messenger of their era. All throughout times, and then the coming of the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then everyone after him has to be united upon his way. Has to be united upon his way. Even some of the people who claimed that differing is a mercy, then we see they began differing in many issues in the fundamentals of the deen, and likewise in the subsidiary issues or in the fiqh issues. And as the author mentions, he says, ثُمَّ صَارَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَّا أَنَّ الْإِفْتِرَاقَ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِهِ هُوَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْثِقُّ فِي الدِّينِ. Yani the issue came to be that differing and being divided, having differences of opinions with regards to the fundamentals of the deen and in the subsidiary issues of the deen, this was considered true knowledge and understanding. The one who has, this one is Ashari, and this one is Mu'tazili, and this one is Jahmi, and this one, they've differed in their creeds, and differed in their madhahib. And then at the time came that the madhahib, yani, became, the issue of blind following, and the madhahib became a major issue, and a major problem to the extent that they would blind follow the imam of the particular madhab that they're following, to the extent that they would leave off the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would make it as if the imam of the madhab, he is the one that must be followed absolutely. Even some of the madhahib, or the people, the followers of them, they had made principles to refuse the sunnah. Anything that is conflicting, so there's principles in some of the one of the madhahib, that any text that is contrary to the statement of the imam, then it is abrogated. Then it's abrogated. And see how they made the fundamental, the asl, the first foundation, the statement of the imam. And whatever text from the sunnah that's contrary to that, then that means that text has to be abrogated, because the imam is the one that he knows best. This is not the correct way. This is a mistake. It even came to the extent, like, if this is true, mercy, then we see that even in the madhahib, there are statements that have come, for example, that a Hanafi man cannot marry his daughter to a Shafi'i man. Meaning that a Hanafi woman can't marry a Shafi'i man. But a Hanafi man can marry a Shafi'i woman. What's this ruling similar to? The ruling of the people of the book. It's permissible for us to marry their women, but it's not permissible for them to marry our women. Naam, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. So it came to the extent that some of that between the differences of opinion and the dissension that had occurred in their ranks between some of the madhahib, that this was the case. That they had declared that this particular madhab in Islam, they're like, they treated them like the people of the book. We can marry their women, but they can't marry our women. Like this, it's not permissible for a Hanafi man to marry his daughter to a Shafi'i woman. Because why? Because of this ta'assub and fanaticism with regards to following a particular madhab, or with regards to following a particular imam. And if differing was a mercy, then how could this enter their ranks like this? Even the ulama, they mention, and this is a reality in history, that until recent history in Mecca, there are four different prayers a day for each madhab. There are four different adhans for fajr and four different prayers. Jama'ah. And at dhuhr, the same thing, four different adhan, four different iqamah, four different imam, four different jama'ah. Until recent history. And can you imagine that? What would it go first? The Hanafis go, and then the Malik is like this in this order. First he makes his adhan, and the next one makes his adhan. They have a corner over here. They pray their Salat Fajr. Then after that, the next one prays his Salat Fajr. After that, the next one prays his Salat Fajr. After that, the next madhab makes his Salat al-Fajr. Alhamdulillah. They mentioned that the chaos that would happen, that sometimes the prayers would become mixed up and the imam would follow the people would follow the wrong imam on accident, or the voices, the calls. I mean, it's the division. There's no unification. There's no unification. It was mentioned that the Al-Malik, Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'ud, he's the one, rahimahullah ta'ala, that unified them. The founder of the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Naam, al-Mamlaka Arabiya Saudiya, the first founder, Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'ud, rahimahullah ta'ala, from his virtues that he did is he united the imams in the Kaaba, the salawat in the Kaaba behind one imam. Naam, he died in the year 1926. And in 1353. So in 1926, I mean, that's the time that he died. So up until this time, or in about this time, the 1920s or so, then in the Kaaba, there's four different salawat. Four different imams, four different adhans, four different iqamas, four different jama'ah for one prayer. For one prayer. Now, this is not a mercy. This is a punishment. But alhamdulillah, they were united behind this imam, and he united them. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reality is that furqa is not the way of the people of the sunnah, and it's not the way of the Muslims. Rather, it's the way of the people of innovation, and it's the way of the people of the book. They're the ones that were divided, and they're the ones that were divided after the clear evidence came. So this principle is something that has to be understood. There's reasons for division and there's reasons for furqa. And from the greatest reasons is following desires and leaving off the revelation. Following the desires, not following the truth sincerely. Not following the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla sincerely. Not following the evidences in the sunnah sincerely like this. Following the desires, what one thinks or one's own opinion and the likes like this. Likewise, innovations, and this is also stemming from following desires, not by following innovations, this is causing animosity to the fact, to the extent, and alhamdulillah, one of the ulama, they mentioned from the a great benefit in the statement of the Prophet, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا, and do not hate one another, do not have animosity towards one another. One of the ulama, he mentioned that this is a prohibition on innovation, because the innovation, it causes hatred in the hearts amongst the believers. Whenever innovation comes, this is what comes along with it. التباغض والتدابر. Now, because innovation, what does it do? It divides. So following other than the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, following other than the understanding of the companions, this is a means for dissension. This is a reason to cause separation upon the ranks. And this is the means for animosity and hatred to enter the hearts of the believers. This is why Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says in His command in the book, in Surah Ali Imran, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. So whenever somebody is holding to the rope of Allah, to the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam properly upon the methodology of the companions and the pious predecessors, then they will be united. But whenever somebody is holding on to this and something from his balad, for example, his culture, hold on to the Quran and hold on to his culture. In my land, they do this. Sometimes you hear somebody say this. So, brother, I'm from this particular country. In my country, this is how they do it. And in my country, this is yani, and this is how. No, it's not like that. If that's the case, then here in America, in my country, they do a lot of crazy things. That's not a proof for us to do it whatever we like. Right, rather the proof is in the Quran, hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether. So we have to holding fast to the rope of Allah means let go of everything else that is contrary to that. Let go of the culture and the way they do it in my land, the way they do it in my city, the way they do it in my country, if that's not according to the rope, and according to the Quran, according to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to the understanding of the Sahaba, you have to let go of that and hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from the means of dissension and of furqa and division, al-jahl, ignorance, not knowing the reality of the deen, not knowing the fundamentals of the deen. Somebody who learns the fundamentals, one of the first things that he will learn, that it's an obligation to be united. And that one of the very first things a Muslim must know, rather the first thing, is how to be united. And what does it mean for unification? اِهْدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The first thing he will be taught from the Qur'an is the Fatiha. This is calling to unification. The obligation of unification. The way of unification. The means of unification is all clarified in the first thing that a Muslim must memorize from the Qur'an. Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the case. So the whenever there's ignorance, then this is a major problem. A major problem causing division and causing dissension in the ranks of the believers. Likewise, blind following. التَّقْلِيدُ الْعَامَ. And this is stemming from ignorance, blind following the madahib, blind following a particular imam, blind following somebody in the deen without any proof whatsoever. This is a means for dissension and separation. This is the means for punishment and division. Likewise, whenever the people, they rely upon their intellects, al-i'timad al-uqul fi fahm an-nusus. And people rely on their minds, and they want to understand it according to what their minds can understand and comprehend, and leaving off following the understanding of the Salaf and the proper, correct understanding of al-Islam, then this is a means for division to enter the ranks. And likewise, from the means of furqa and division is whenever the people, they speak ill of the ulama of the sunnah. Speaking ill of the ulama of the sunnah is a great means to cause dissension in the ranks, because the ulama, they're the chain. And he had the fourth principle, he speaks about the clarification of the ulama and the importance of knowing who the ulama are, and that really, rather that from the fundamentals of the deen is knowing what is true knowledge and who the true ulama are. that way because they're the ones who call to unification. They're the ones who call to ikhlas. They're the ones who warn from shirk. They're the ones that are the guides to the correct way. But if the people don't know who the real ulama are and the true ulama are, and they follow the ones who are not ulama that pretend to be ulama, then this is when dissension comes in their ranks, and this is when our division comes, and this is whenever shaitan, he has his way with the believers. Naam, so this is the case. There are other issues with regards to this al-ijtima' al-asl thani. أمر الله بالاجتماع في الدين ونهى عن التفرق فيه. That we have to also, it's very important for a believer to understand that whenever it says here al-ijtima, the asl and what Allah commands is al-ijtima fi al-din. Al-ijtima fi al-din. يعني في الدين. يعني على الحق. للحق. بالحق. يعني rightfully, truthfully, not just a claim. Ijtima in the deen. So whenever the Muslims or whenever individual he's united truly upon the correct way, this requires for him to separate himself from the ways of falsehood. Separate himself from the ways of falsehood. So the point that I would like to make here is the fact that some of the people of innovation and some of the people of desires, they use this principle to try to gather the people upon their way. Some of the groups of Hizbiyah and the likes, they have their call. And they'll mention the verses, وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Be united, everybody be united. And they'll use this. And if a person doesn't have understanding of the proper unification, he may be lured astray and he may fall into their call. The call to be united, the call to be united. But being united again, al-ijtima fi al-din. And that starts in the heart with the proper creed and the proper belief. The proper understanding and the proper methodology. This is what will unite the people. This is what will unite the people. To call the people to unite all together upon whatever, just unite the bodies, whatever we agree upon, we're alhamdulillah, whatever we disagree about, we'll be quiet about that. La. We all have to come to the agreement that we're going to follow the Quran and the Sunnah upon the way of the Salaf. And we see that this is the straight path and that is the way to unification and that is the only way for the true unification. Any other way is division. Any other way, not following this way, is really division. Even if there's hundreds of people calling together, unite, 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 but they didn't unite upon this, all of these people, they're the means for division. So the unification is on the way of the companions. The unification is on the way of the companions and on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us from this. And he mentioned that the Yahud, افترقت اليهود على 72 فرقة, that the Yahud, they split on 72 sects, وستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة, and that this Ummah was split into 73 sects. It's been mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified. And they said, which one is the safe sect, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. What I am upon today and my companions. So anybody who is not holding on to that way, even if they're many, they're the ones causing dissension. They're the ones causing division. The unification is only upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions. ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. The saved sect, the one that is not in the hellfire, كلها في النار إلا واحدة. All of them are in that fire except for one. Who are they? What I am upon today and my companions. What I am upon today and my companions. Anybody who is not on that way, he is not unified. Rather, he is a cause and a means for division. He is a cause and a means for division. So in reality, not every division or not every iftiraq and separation is blameworthy. The one that is blameworthy is whenever an individual separates himself from the rope of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whenever a person separates himself from the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, this is the vision that is blameworthy. As for dividing and separating oneself from the Rafila, the ones who curse the family of the Prophet, the one who worship the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ones who curse Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, separating from them entirely, this is a good separation. This is praiseworthy and this is required. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That there must be, even the statement La ilaha illallah is a statement of division. And dividing the truth from the falsehood, this is a good division. This is a good iftirak, to separate the truth from falsehood so it's clear and to not mix it. Pure truth, clear. This is good division, separating from the falsehood. Likewise, separating from the people of falsehood. This is good division. Separating from the people who call to the deviant ways. This is good division. Separating from the people, from the Christians and the Jews. Separating from them. Separating from the people of innovation. Separating from them entirely. Not being with them at all. This is good separation. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ. Now whoever disbelieves in that which is worshipped besides Allah, separates from them, and believes in Allah alone, this is the one that is held on to the strongest handhold, that will never break. So to separate from the people of innovation, to separate from the methodologies of innovation, to separate from the innovated creeds, this is a good way. This is a good separation. This is praiseworthy, to be separated from them. This is a very important point. Because people say that al-jama'ah, al-jama'ah, al-jama'ah. But al-jama'ah is the one who is in accordance with the truth. Not the jama'ah, is not the body of people all gathered together. Even in one narration, Ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned that the jama'ah is man wafaq al-haq walau kana wahdak. Whoever is in accordance with the truth, even if you're by yourself. So the people upon the correct way, sometimes in some lands, they're many and they're strong. And in other times, in other lands, they're few. Maybe they may even be one individual or two in particular lands or particular cities or in particular times. The one who is truly holding onto the rope of Allah maybe is only a few in a particular land and a particular time. In another particular time or another particular place, they might be strong and there may be many. But the case is, the reality is, the one that is holding on to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon and his companions, radiallahu anhum, sincerely and truthfully. Not only claiming, but claiming, yes, na'am, and then applying and seeing the fruits from the actions. Seeing the fruits from the actions. One of the problems that we see in these days from division in the ranks of the people of the Sunnah, it falls back to ignorance, but also any specifically ignorance in Islamic etiquettes and manners. Ignorance, not with regards to creed, not with regards to belief. Many, we find our brothers, alhamdulillah, they learn the proper creed and the proper belief, but they don't learn the proper manners and the Islamic etiquettes that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has came with, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought and commanded. And we'll find because of this that the mu'amala between brothers is the mu'amala that they are raised upon. Particularly, for example, in America, some of the people who accept Islam, maybe they came from the street, or maybe they came from a background where there's not the etiquettes and the manners are completely different from the etiquettes and manners that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. So they'll deal with each other in this manner and not observing the rights of brotherhood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with, and then this will bring animosity amongst them. This will bring animosity amongst them. But whenever a person, he learns the proper Islamic etiquettes in greeting and in leaving, and the rights of the brother, the rights of the neighbor, the rights of a Muslim upon a Muslim, all of these things, and he tries to observe that sincerity to please Allah Azza wa Jal, and he deals with this brother in this way. And like, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Iyakum wadh-dhann." Many people we see here in our communities, they have bad thoughts about their brothers. Bad suspicions about their brother. They don't even know them, but they think bad about them. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Allah mentions don't spy on each other. We find people spying on each other, going online, looking what they can find, dirt on their brother like this. And this is all not permissible in the first place. And it's not from the manners of a believer. But whenever this comes in and people don't know how to interact with each other, following the proper Islamic etiquettes that, and again, I want to emphasize, this discussion is about the people of the Sunnah. Not talking about how, you know, the people of innovation have somebody who's clearly upon innovation, he has a different way to deal with him. But the people who, you know, he's a person of the Sunnah, he wants to be upon the Haqq, he wants to be on the way of the Salaf, he wants to be upon good, right? And then this is the one that you have to give him these rights. You have to deal with him in the best way. You have to have a good opinion about him. Even if he does something that's questionable, then you still have to carry that in the best manner. You have to carry that in the best manner, because the origin is that he is a person of the sunnah. The origin with you is that he's a person of the sunnah. And if something happens and he is in opposition or he does something that is incorrect or wrong, then it's his right that we advise him in the best manner. And it's the right that we advise each other in the best manner. If I mess up or I do something wrong, it's my right from my brothers that they advise me. It's my right as a Muslim. If you make a mistake, it's your right as a Muslim that they will see that and they will advise. And they will want good for you and try to help you away from that mistake or from that error. It's a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be united. It's a mercy to have the brotherhood of Islam. Even in the verse, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And remember the verse? وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. It's a blessing, it's a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla that we have the brotherhood of Islam, that we have the brotherhood of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a blessing and this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever there is somebody who is striving to be upon the Sunnah, you know that he is a person of the Sunnah, then we have to have a good opinion about him. We have to have good hope for him. Even if he slipped, this would not make us happy. This would make us sad. If he slipped, if he fell into sin, if he did something wrong that's not befitting, this wouldn't make a believer happy. Rather, this would make him sad. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Hadith Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. That he said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Like this is a fundamental. This is how, if we do like this, then the unification will come. We love for our brother what we love for ourselves. We love for our brother to be upon the sunnah. We love for our brother to be upright. Because I love to be upright like this, we love that for our brother. If just the same way, if I like to be how I would like to be advised, or how an individual would like to be advised if he made a mistake, then we have to love that for our brother too. And if I made a mistake, I wouldn't like for somebody to deal with me harshly. If you made a mistake, you wouldn't like somebody to deal with you harshly, then we wouldn't like that for our brother, meaning that we wouldn't deal with them harshly if they made a mistake. Right? We wouldn't make tashhir of them and spread them. So-and-so did it. I know he was misguided. Oh, he finally came and spread it all over the world in every different language like this. This is not wanting good for your brother. This is wanting bad for him. And this is because of a weakness of iman. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Not one truly believes. Meaning the one who doesn't fulfill this right is because his iman is weak. Before closing, I want to mention something very important, and that is, if we observe this, it will help us a lot. Many people today, the reason why there's dissension in the ranks is because they deal with the people of the sunnah the way that you should deal with the people of innovation. There's khalt here. It's messed up in the minds of some of the brothers. There's a way to deal with the people of innovation. Damn, there's a manhaj salafi, and the way that you deal with them. And then there's a manhaj salafi also, and the way that you deal with the people of the sunnah. Whenever this becomes mixed, this is dissension. The person of the sunnah, if he makes a mistake, is not dealt with the same way as the person of innovation. A person of innovation, la karam, no honor or respect for him. He's a person like a person of innovation, not somebody who doesn't know, not a new Muslim who accepted Islam at the hands of the tablighiyin. No, somebody who is a person of innovation. He has a different way you deal with him. As for the ignorant Muslims, the Muslims who don't know, or the Muslims who just, they're unaware, or the person who is a person of a sunnah, but he made a mistake, there's a different way that you deal with him. There's a different way that you deal with him. Whenever we deal with these people of the sunnah, the way that you're supposed to deal with the people of innovation, this is called dhulm. This is called dhulm. This is oppression. This is called oppression. Rather, the person who makes a mistake from the people of the sunnah, يعني يرجى له الخير ويرجى له إذا بوين له أنه يتوب. Because we know he's a person of the sunnah. If it's clarified for him, he'll come back. And we want him to come back. He's our brother on the sunnah. So we be patient with him. We advise him. We redirect him. We give him a chance or two. We talk to our brother. If he doesn't accept my advice, we say, brother so-and-so, he's doing this. And maybe you can talk to him like this. We make effort to help him. He's a person of the sunnah. We love him and we care about him. We want good for him because we want good for ourselves. So we wouldn't treat him the way that we treat a person in innovation. This is a major mistake. This is a major mistake. To deal with the people of the sunnah the way that you deal with the people of innovation, this is a major mistake. And this misunderstanding has caused much separation in the ranks. Then likewise, in the same issue, the people of the sunnah, like the general Muslims, many of the Muslims, for example, maybe somebody will accept Islam and he's new. He accepts Islam at the hands of some innovators. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. So maybe he thinks that's the way. I know some brothers, they accepted Islam at the hand of the Rafida. He didn't know. He wants to be a Muslim. He came into Islam and he accepted Islam like this. From this way, he was guided to a Khariji. He became Khariji. And then later, finally on his road, he finally found the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. But this is the case. Some people, they don't come into Islam directly. Even some people are born Muslim and they're not born with a family of the Sunnah right away. Rather, there's innovations that have affected the Muslims, spread through the lands. Many lands full of innovations, Sufiya and different ideologies, different creeds and different beliefs, even shirk. Some of the people in some lands, they think that Islam is shirk. And they think that Tawheed is shirk and shirk is Tawheed. And like this, but that's because the people have been educated the wrong way. The Sunnah didn't reach them. So we'll have mercy on these people and we'll call them. And we'll try to clarify them and we'll be patient with them. We see somebody, maybe he doesn't pray properly. The first thing to do is not stomp his foot. Pull him over. Be harsh on him. Like this. To teach him. To teach him. That's the way to do it. To educate him. To hope, to want good for him and to try to show him the right way. Like, for example, some people, maybe they have a misunderstanding in their land. Right after Taslim, they shake hands. The sunnah is not to make that move. After taslim, you make adhkar. Whenever they start shaking hand after every taslim, they shake hand, now it become an innovation. Okay, but some people, they don't know. So if a person deals with them harshly, for example, to slap his hand like this. This is not from the sunnah. This is innovation. And he's harsh with him. That's also not from the sunnah. Teaching people that don't know with harshness is also not from the sunnah. The same way to shake hands after salat like that is not from the sunnah. To smack his hand away and be rude to him, that's not from the sunnah either. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was patient with the people and he was kind with the people. Somebody came to him and grabbed him like this, give me some money. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiled and he said, give him some money. People accepted Islam because of his kindness and his good manners and his care for them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.